Well, all right. Can I have a, we're going to take communion at the end of the service today. And we're going to skip out on our study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit today, because we got some important stuff that we have to address. So open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us and constantly shows us how to rightfully divide the word of truth so we can get it right. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. Father, we thank you for Jesus who is always here. He will never leave us nor forsake you. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, kind of out of honoring us every once in a while, I would run into preachers and I'd say, what is your church about? And said, we believe the full gospel of God. I said, okay, good. So you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And No. I said, you just told me you believed the full gospel of God. But literally, I locate people this way. Right now, I find it curious. Remember when they were doing the elections in 2016? And these Republicans were kind of, you kind of thought they were one way, but maybe a little shady. And then when it looked like Trump was going to get elected, they completely swung to the left. They said, we will not support him. They showed their true colors. Now, today, we have a church that has showed their true colors. On a day where the church should stand up and proclaim the name of the Lord and say, no, Jesus is Lord over the coronavirus, they're hitting the deck and self-quarantining. And their leaders are saying, you need to use wisdom and hide out for a while. That is nonsense. That is not the Bible. I say this with all the urgency that I can. If it sounds like I'm yelling, forgive me. But look, we've got to get this right. If Jesus can't save you from the coronavirus, how is he going to save you from hell? I'm going to give a testimony. When I was in an oil field one time, I got a horrible, very poisonous chemical poured from the top of my head down my back. This stuff eats iron. This stuff eats iron. It's a very poisonous chemical. And anyway, there's nothing the doctors can do about it anyway. So I got this stuff poured down my back, and my wife can testify to this. These blisters started, big ones, and it started pulling fat out of my back. There's pockets of fat coming out of my back. So I had a choice. Everybody runs into choices all the time. I had a choice. I could run to the doctor and say, help me, help me, help me. Or I could stand on the word of God and say that Jesus is my salvation. Everybody gets faced with these choices at some point in time. What you believe is going to guide the direction of your life. Now, unfortunately, when sicknesses and diseases and COVID happens, flocks and flocks and flocks of Christians run to the doctor. Save me, save me. When we should be saved, no. On the solid rock I stand. Jesus is my salvation. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. I know the pain's real. I can testify to that 100%. My wife's seen me suffer through this. I said, no, I am not going to the doctor. So the devil upped the ante just a little bit. Made my insides quit working. You know, when your insides quit working, that's pretty bad. When you're no longer processing food. And I said, no. By his stripes, I was healed. Jesus is my salvation. So he upped the ante a little bit and took my equilibrium. I literally fell out of my truck. And I said, no. By his stripes, I was healed. I don't care how long I had to stand on this. So he upped the ante just a little bit more. And a very popular preacher told me, he said, that's just foolishness. You got to go to the doctor. I said, no. Foolishness to me would be running to the doctor. When I believe Jesus for my salvation, I run to him for my salvation. He is the only one that can fix this. My wife can testify to this. 3 days, it was over. No scars. No scars. No side effects. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I'm telling you, you must stand on the Word of God. You're not going to get there just because you heard somebody say it once. You're going to have to get in there and find it. You're going to have to get a rhema word. You're going to have to get a heartfelt revelation of this word. You're going to get it by meditating on that word. That's the way it comes to us. Amen. You know, Jesus asked Peter, said, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, good job, Peter. You didn't get that from man. You got that from God. What happened? He got a revelation of his word of who Jesus was. That's what we do. We get a revelation by studying it, meditating on it, thinking on it. Amen? Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. See, you can tell, I've already lived this. This is something I've had to go through, and I got a revelation of it. And you can too. If God did it for me, he'll do it for you. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. That last part there, I want you to take your favorite crayon and circle it. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Have you thought about that? I will be to them a God. What does that mean? This is the miracle working God. This is the God that created man in the garden out of dirt. This is the God that created the sun, moon, and stars. This is the same God that said, let there be light. This is the same God that by His Spirit raised Jesus back to life, which we base our very salvation on. And He said, I will be to them a God. When the children came out of Egypt and they went to the Red Sea and they were blocked, their enemies were about to encompass them, run them over and finish them off. He parted the Red Sea and they walked through on dry land and their enemies drowned in their sea. If it's a miracle you need, He said, I will be to them their God. Whatever miracle it may be, He is your God. And He goes on and said, they shall be to me a people. The first thing that comes to my mind is Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they protect me. That's a good shepherd. That's what it means to be a people to Him. To let Him protect you. You know, that's just part of the deal. When you're a shepherd, you know, we got these goats. I don't ever have a goat come up there and ask me to protect it. They just know that I'm going to be there to take care of it. Amen? And just one up it, I put some dogs with them. Amen? That's what it means to be His people. Let Him protect you. You know, He's given us the spirit of wisdom. Use it. At a time like this, the church should be completely full. The church members should be dragging people to church. Say, I found your answer. His name is Jesus. Instead, they hit the deck. They're hiding out. They're hiding from a virus. They're hiding. They're self-quarantining. They're saying, but wisdom says to go take care of yourself. No, wisdom says to let Jesus take care of you. Look over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst cleanse me. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. You know, leprosy was... That was the end of the world. When somebody caught leprosy, he automatically got quarantined from his family, from his job, from his city, from his church, from everybody that loved him, he got quarantined. And then he was just out there left alone with other lepers to just live there until he died in pain and misery. This man, you know, I read a story on this. There were rocks by this trail that Jesus happened to be walking on there, but there were little dugouts under these rocks. And they figured this leper was hiding under one of these rocks so he wouldn't be seen out amongst the people. And Jesus came walking down and he rolled the dice. He let it all hang out and he jumped out there on that trail. And it says, "Jesus, if thou will, thou can make me clean." Jesus showed his will. Everybody's running around asking what the will of God is. Right there, Jesus opened it up and said, "I will. Be thou cleansed." Now, did Jesus take some rubber gloves and put them on and pray for him? No. This man, in his completely dehumanized state, completely cut off from civilization, completely cut off from everything he wanted, nobody that he loved would touch him. Anybody around him would touch him. But Jesus touched him. And let the love of God flow into this man's life for the first time and said, "I will, be thou cleansed." That's the church's job. Go touch these people and say, "I will, be thou cleansed." God didn't say anything about using any hand sanitizer either. That irritates me to no end. These would-be Word of Faith preachers say after you get out of a prayer line, you should go get some hand sanitizer and disinfect yourself. Did the blood of Jesus mean anything to you or not? The reason I'm a little bit angry, because we got a whole bunch of church people running around out there saying, "You got to get hand sanitizer, you got to wear rubber gloves, and you got to quarantine, do all this stuff." Knock it off. If that's what you truly believe, don't ever get behind the pulpit again. It's time to get real with this stuff. We got real things happening out here in this real world, and it's our job to stand up to it. Not run from it, not hide from it, not disinfect from it. Either the blood Every fear, you know, they've figured this out. Every fear is a fear, basically is rooted in a fear of death. Every single one of us has to look just square in the eye. And here's how you do that. Go to, let me find my note here. 1 Corinthians Chapter 15, verse 55. You know, death is a mystery to people. That's why it bothers people so much. We were not designed to die. Did you know that? God did not make us to die. Jesus is the only one that was ever designed to die. He was designed to die so we could live. But we were not designed to die. That's why it's such a mystery. That's why there's so much fear around it. God created us. He put us in that garden. Put Adam in that garden. He was supposed to live and live and live and live. He was not made to die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Well, verse 54. It says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You should look at that once in a while. If you happen to exit your body, you're in the presence of Jesus immediately. Boom! You just changed addresses. You didn't die. You just changed addresses. How bad can that be? See, this gets fear out of the way. You know, if you weave when you should have wobbled and you leave your body, you're in Jesus' presence immediately. So that takes the fear away. Now you have the opportunity to operate in faith. So you get attacked with a sickness or disease. Something attacks your body. What happens to most people is they get fear stricken. They go to the doctor. And the doctor says, you got this, or they have these names that are about. You can't even say them. But they give these names, and they sound horrible. And then they give these prognoses, and they say, you got this many days, or this many months, or whatever. I wish they'd shut up. They are not God. It's enough to just say this has attacked you. But people claim it. They say, I got cancer. Like it's mine. Like they own it. Don't do that. Say, I have been attacked by cancer. But the good news is you're seated in heavenly places, at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion of the devil. You've been seated far above that. You're not under the circumstances. You're far above that. You're above cancer. You're above COVID-19. You're above all these problems. John 16, verse 33 says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus is your victory. And you are in Christ. That's what it means to be in Christ. Everything about you is wrapped up in Him. He said to believe on me. What's that mean? Believe everything that He did for you on that cross. If you get attacked with a sickness, then your answer is, by His stripes, I was healed. He sent His word and it healed me. If you get broke, then your answer is, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is the dividing line here between mental assent and rhema word faith. Somebody gets attacked with sickness. If they're in mental assent, what they'll say is, I believe God is my healer. And they run to the doctor as fast as they can. I'm not against doctors. They keep people going, but we've wasted so much time promoting doctors and medicine. Well, we should have been promoting Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't tell that leper to go to the doctor. You know, it is all right. It is okay to fight sickness with the word of faith. Now, don't just do it because you heard somebody say it. Get in that Bible and get that in your heart. Like it's everything in the world, because it is. You're going to have to meditate on it. You're going to have to feed on this, and you're going to have to get it in your heart so you can believe it, so you can act on it. It's not a game. It's time for people to quit playing church. It's time to stand on the Word of God and say, no, this is exactly the way it is. I may have been attacked by something. The devil got a cheap shot in on me. But by His stripes, I was healed. And I'm standing on that Word of God. It is mine. And you're going to have to say that and say that and say that over and over and over and over again. And you're going to have to tell the devil over and over and over again to back off in the name of Jesus. Remember, every tongue will confess that Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. I mean, every knee will bow, every name. Everything must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Every name. Cancer is a name. AIDS is a name. COVID is a name. Poverty is a name. It must bow its knee to the name of Jesus, but you're going to have to enforce it. Jesus said He would never leave you nor forsake you. That means He is always, always right there with you to enforce what you say in His name. As long as you say His word in the name of Jesus, He's there to make it come to pass. I did a numbers study one time. It was just kind of funny. I thought it was kind of neat, but I was studying on angels one time. And they figure that every born-again believer has over 100,000 angels to work for him. Now these angels, they hearken unto the voice of His word. Notice the Bible didn't say that they hearken unto the voice of God. They do just exactly what He says. But the Bible says that they hearken unto the voice of His word. That means when you take His word in your heart and you speak it forth into this atmosphere, it gives them angels something to do. Go out there and they cause God's word to be performed on your behalf. This is when you become hard-headed and single-minded in purpose. You get centered on His word and you say, no, I am not having it any other way. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord. Jesus died on the cross so that I could have His blessings, and they are mine, and I will not back down from them. I will not allow the devil to steal my healing. I will not allow the devil to steal my provision. I will not allow the devil to steal my blessings. These are mine, and they are blood-bought promises, and I am receiving them as a child of God. They say it's easier to build a house when the wind's not blowing. All too often, people end up building their house in a storm. You can get it done. You can get it done. It's not going to be the easiest thing. But if you'll go ahead and lay the foundation when the wind's not blown, and what I mean is by getting that word in your heart, meditating on it. Well, I don't feel sick. I'm not sick. Good. Good. You're not building your house in the storm. Go ahead and get them healing scriptures in your heart. Get it in there. Get that word in there so you got something to fall back on. So you have it is written. You know, the devil tempted Jesus, and Jesus said, it is written. It is written. What happened? Well, the devil attacked him, and Jesus had word in his heart so that he had an answer for the devil. Right away. You know, but I'm not broke. Well, that's okay. You can meditate on some scriptures about provision. So if something happens, you have an answer to the devil. You have, and it is written for him. Amen. That way you don't have to build your house in a storm. You're laying a foundation. Every time you get a scripture in your heart as it's yours, you laid another brick on your foundation. And it's not made out of straw. It's not made out of stubble. It's made out of stone. The Word of God. Just keep laying one more brick on there. Get another scripture. So you can have another, it is written. Look over to Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. I get real excited on this stuff. I mean, I just can't even tell you how exciting it is to sit there and have to go toe-to-toe with, it seems like, the gates of hell. And everybody around you calling you an idiot. Saying, just go to the doctor. And you say, no, I'm standing on the Word of God. And you fight it, and you fight it, and you fight it, and then you just blow through the thing and it's done. It feels like 10,000 tons have been lifted off your back. You know what just happened? God delivered you, and you got a testimony to give about the grace of Jesus, how He saved you, how He healed you, how He set you free. And then all these other guys are sitting there thinking, man, I thought he was toast. How did he do that? And then they go preach another sermon on doubt and unbelief. No, this is real. This is real. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire, and thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Remember, the Old Testament is full of types and shadows of Jesus and His blood and what He did. Is that anybody who is under the blood shall be protected? That's you. You are under the blood. Now our high priest, Jesus, has shed his blood. He poured it all out for you. Take advantage of the protection of the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. How do I do that? Say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. That's how you do that. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. I plead the blood of Jesus over this situation I'm facing. The doctor says I've been attacked with cancer. I plead the blood of Jesus. Amen. The banker says this. I plead the blood of Jesus. I'll tell you what will happen. There's a lot of people that are going to go broke because of this COVID-19 thing. There's a lot of people that are going to be in terrible financial distress. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to get sick. Here's what's going to happen to the church if they will pick up His word and stand on it in faith and operate the way God says they should operate as true children of God. Not strangers to the covenants of promise, but true children of God, heirs. You will stay healthy. You will be stronger. And He will even prosper you through this. If you will take Him for His word and stand on His word and operate as though it is so. You have choices. You can run with the masses and go hide out, or you can draw a line in the sand and say, no, devil, I'm not being pushed any further. This is where it stops. Right here. I am a child of God. I am the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My life is hid in Him. And God has freely given me all things with Christ Jesus. That includes healing, provision, and protection. I am not going to participate in your stupid little disease. And your virus is far from me. I will not have it. You're going to have to say things like that. But it will come to pass for you if you'll stand on His word. Amen? Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? This is one way we appropriate the blood of Jesus. This is one way we appropriate His healing. Paul said the only reason that people are sickly and direly in the church is because they don't discern the body of Christ. I was taught that if you took this unworthily, you'd bring damnation unto yourself. And that's true. But I taught that the wrong way. The way you take it unworthily is to not discern the body of Christ. But I was taught that to take it unworthily means that you have sin. So I was on my knees asking God to forgive me every time I come up to take communion. And I finally got so frustrated that I didn't even want to take communion. I didn't even want to see communion. I spent more time on my knees than I did on my feet. If I had just shut up and listened to God and say, listen to Him, and He's saying, I already forgave you 2,000 years ago on the cross. You're forgiven. Now discern the body of Christ. How do we do that? Look at this bread. This bread is without yeast. Yeast is significant as sin in the Bible. There's no yeast in this. Jesus certainly had no sin in his life. This bread has stripes on it. It's by his stripes we were healed. This bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus got pierced, he got redemption for us in some area. And here's a biggie. This bread is slightly burned. I mean, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when he got on that cross. The wrath that was meant for us was laid on him. He took everything that we deserved so that we could have everything he deserved. Praise God, his body was broken. Jesus, we're taking this for our healing in remembrance of you. I love the taste of the matzah bread. Everything about God is better than anything man has ever designed. Those little rice wafers they usually give out for communion, those are terrible. God's way is always better. Jesus' blood was shed all over the place. It was not spilled. It was on purpose. It was the ultimate sacrifice. Not only did his blood wash away our sins, his blood brought us into the family. He made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He cleansed the Holy of Holies so that we can go boldly into the presence of God and we can receive mercy and help in times of need. We can go right into God's presence just as if we'd never sinned, because the shed blood of Jesus has us covered. His blood protects us. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life. Plead the blood of Jesus over your finances. Plead the blood of Jesus over your health. In Jesus' name we take this. Father, we thank you for all the benefits that Jesus has provided for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for your salvation. That salvation doesn't mean just born again, but salvation means healing and protection and deliverance and provision. Everything that a man needs is wrapped up in Jesus, and we're in him. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and snacks back here and fellowship.